It's podcast time on XFM. Every bit is a little gem. Chat and jokes, bits and bobs. Matt, Steve, Dave and Danny. Breakfast XFM. It's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello there, my name's Producer Dave, and welcome to the bonus edition, podcast 73, from the XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace. Now, we thought it would be fitting for me, the producer, to introduce this 73rd podcast, merely because we thought it would be the most effective way to get into the audio. It in no way suggests that Danny Wallace may have left the building before we had time to actually ask him to record this introduction. So once again, this is due to editorial decisions and not the lack of a presenter. Work experience Steve.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
All right. What's coming up?
Well, this is going to be a great podcast this week. We've got Dominic Monaghan, star of Lost and Lord of the Rings.
What else?
Greg Davies, star of The Inbetweeners.
Anything else, Steve?
Quiz face, plus a mystery guest.
Oh, a mystery guest, that'll be exciting.
It sure will, Dave.
How does Danny usually get out of this little bit?
He normally has a bit of like banter with Matt Dyson.
Don't use the word banter. Okay. Steve, you're really silly.
Hey, that's not very nice.
That'll do.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
Morning, Matt. Morning, Dave.
Morning.
How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
Very good, thanks.
You went off to have a steak yesterday. A couple of guys against some steak, just meat.
Yeah.
Just there.
We had some of that marrow bone.
Oh, you know, on purpose?
Yeah.
Or was it a very cheap restaurant?
I'm not sure how I feel about it, but they bring it out in a bone and you scoop it out from inside and it's like gelatinous.
It's 6:10.
But meaty at the same time.
Yeah.
And I sort of like it, but then it makes me feel a bit funny afterwards.
Yeah, it would do. It's like I once went to that Heston Blumenthal restaurant and my body for days was going, like, was trying to process what I'd eaten, just kind of going, is this moss? You've been eating moss? And it must be like that with you and your marrow bone obsession.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
That you've developed. Mm. And it's a very posh restaurant you went to, wasn't it? And you were taken there, weren't you, by, wasn't it the publicity manager for Scotch Eggs?
Something like that.
Why,
two friends of the show, big fans.
Big fans.
Why did the publicity manager for Scotch Eggs take you to a steak restaurant and not, say, to a garage forecourt and just buy some Scotch Eggs?
He's moved on from Scotch Eggs.
Has he always got Scotch Eggs on him?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You know, like those tequila girls that you see in bars?
You know, like a belt.
Yeah, a sort of utility belt. Can he always pop out a Scotch Egg?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I love that. Imagine that. You got some kind of Scotch Egg theme tune. He can walk down the street and just popping these Scotch Eggs out of his utility belt. Yeah, and just almost like a sort of a Dick Van Dyke character, like a happy Cockney, just flicking... Flicking Scotch eggs into the open mouths of tourists. Welcome to Britain.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, those mini picnic eggs maybe would be more versatile.
I see. Well, it's good that you're thinking of it.
Yeah.
So you didn't show yourself up in this posh restaurant?
I don't think so. Did we, Matt? No, I thought we were quite well behaved, actually. It's always quite disconcerting when...
When you're in a restaurant.
Yeah. Well, Matt worries about that. Yeah.
Whose mum's cooking this?
Yeah. It's a lovely restaurant.
Is it?
But these two chaps who are lovely people, they know everything about the show.
Do they?
Yeah, so the questions they're asking.
What kind of questions?
I couldn't even remember.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of questions were they asking?
Well, I can't remember specifically now, but they were going way back.
Remember the answers to the questions, all the questions
they asked. One of them knew the name of Dave's landlord.
Mario.
Yeah, how's Mario?
Wow. That is dedication to the cause.
Yeah.
Well, of course, everyone listening right now also just immediately shouted out Mario.
Yeah.
Because they should be listening. Well, that's the only...
They shouldn't have shouted, really.
Yeah, that's the only occasion where it would have been acceptable to talk during a link. And they're just looking at each other's listening partners now and just nodding and turning to the requisite page in the listener pad and going, that is rule 19B.
XFM.
Good morning, you're with
The XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And we, you know, we always say this, Matt, don't we? Punch above our weight when it comes to guests on the important broadcast. Today's guest, no different, a TV star, a film star, now doing a brand new show on Channel 5 as well. Describe the man to your immediate left.
He is looking a little bit worse for wear, I'm not going to lie.
No, don't lie.
But he's, you know, he's putting a brave face on it. He's just started a coffee.
Yeah, started a coffee. He's got 2 litres of water in front of him. He's finished off some kind of pastry. Dominic Monaghan is here. Hello, Dominic.
Oh, man.
I have a relatively deep voice, and my voice today is like 3 or 4 octaves deeper.
You sound like a 1970s club comic from the north. You know what I mean?
I've not slept yet. It got to about 7:15, and I thought, well, I could go to sleep. And then I thought, I'm not going to.
What's the point? Exactly. And if you have just tuned in, this is the actor Dominic Monaghan. It's not Chris Moyles. Somebody's just hearing it in my headphones. It's very confusing for some people. Welcome.
Thank you. I feel very, very welcome. Thank you.
Well, that's good. You should do. And look at that, the shaky hand of the coffee. It's proper hangover. Hey, we're here to talk about, well, it's already started on Channel 5. We're a few episodes in. But it is, of course, Wild Things with Dominic Monaghan. And it's you travelling about looking at pesky critters.
True. That's a good description of the show, yeah.
You described it kind of as kind of how you holiday. Is that true?
Yeah. It genuinely is. If I go away on my own, which I'm inclined to do because my work schedule's a little crazy, I will usually pick an animal that I want to go and see. I went to Thailand to go swim with the whale shark. I went to Rwanda to go hang out with the lowland gorillas. I went to Borneo to be with the orangutans because I love animals and I love that experience. And I love giving myself something to do on holiday as opposed to like read 2 books, get a suntan. You know what I mean? I like to do stuff. So I eventually started pitching that idea to networks in the United States of that holiday idea with a little bit of street food and a little bit of football and a little bit of people, a little bit of colour, to stop some of these things feeling intimidating. I think a lot of people are intimidated by things like travel, not being able to speak the language, animals. But what I've found is that, you know, if you smile and you're respectful and you feign a nice amount of ignorance, like, I don't really know what I'm doing, can someone help me out? Most human beings will bail you out of that situation, you know. So it's also my attempt to change people's ideas about these animals that most people are scared of. Snakes, spiders, bees, ants, wasps, those type of things. Most people think that they're to be ignored and to be swiped away, but actually those animals are incredibly important of tying together our planet, whereas human beings just cause a mess.
Yeah, well, insects kind of, they tidy up after us in some
ways.
They clean all that up. And how long have you had this kind of this interest, or does it border on obsession? Does it become an obsession?
Yeah, it is a little I'm a little obsessed by a few things, and I can't think of a time where I wasn't fascinated by animals. I remember I had a little tin pencil case when I was a kid, when I was at school in Manchester, and it, on the top section was pens and pencils and stuff, and on the bottom tray I would keep bees and wasps, and when I was in a class that I wasn't into, I would just open up the bottom tray and all these bees and wasps would fly around the classroom.
It sounds like you should.
And then they wouldn't ask me questions that I didn't want to get asked.
You sound like something out of a cartoon. You really do. You sound like something out of a cartoon. This weird little child, strange infant walking around with a pencil case full of bees.
Yeah, very strange when I was a kid.
Are there any animals you are in no way interested in? A very boring animal. You just go, not bothered about that guy.
You know, to be honest, this is a slightly offensive comment, but the animal that I'm the least interested in are humans.
Oh. I have never been so offended in my life.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Matt's taking that very personally.
I'm so sorry about that. The interview has gone down
the
now.
Cheek of the man. He comes in here, he slags off our species.
There's too many of us. We don't do enough stuff.
That's enough. Cut his mic. We may or may not return to this conversation with Dominic Monaghan after this on XFM. Jesus! We are XFM. This is the big story for you. And it is a big story. And I'm not overhyping this. This is the front page of The Sun.
The front page of The Sun.
Dean Gaffney. I've already got him hooked, haven't I? Dean Gaffney, formerly of EastEnders, is seeking a change in direction, okay? And he has applied for a job
as a spy with MI5. I repeat, Dean Gaffney has applied for a job as a spy with MI5. One of the main things I would argue that people look for in a spy is discretion.
Yeah.
This guy's gone straight to the papers.
He's already blown it.
Yeah, he's blown it. He's applied to be...
The application.
He's applied to be a mobile surveillance officer, okay? So I imagine that's stakeouts, that's sitting in a van, isn't it? Now, as one of the most recognisable faces in Britain... Do you think you'd notice if Dean Gaffney was in a van at the end of your road every single day? Is that something you might mention to your partner?
Yeah.
Or to someone else? Or maybe tweet? I'd argue you probably would, you know? Yeah. The whole street we're talking about it, you know? But you know, Dean Gaffney's been parked outside number 15 for 10 days. And all the quotes are here. Dean says, I've got an inquiring mind. He also says, how hard can it be?
Oh, no.
But he is qualified. He says, I love spy films.
Oh, wow.
I bet it's just like spy films.
Yeah,
I
he's
bet
done being his research.
Spy. Yeah. He says, well, he has. He says, most spies spend their lives pretending to be someone else. I do that for a living.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, but you look like Dean Gaffney. You look exactly like Dean Gaffney. People are going to recognise you. Those people, they can blend in. You're always Dean Gaffney. Other spies could look you up on IMDb. You know what I mean? Even if Dean Gaffney is dressed as a butler or a Frenchman... He is Dean Gaffney, isn't he? Yeah. Even if Dean Gaffney's on Gaffney. Casualty or The Bill, you watch it and you go, oh, that's Dean Gaffney. It seems like a bad change of direction for me. Anyway, he's applied. He's gone straight to the papers. And apparently he's not heard back yet. So it'll be interesting to see how that story develops and whether, in fact, we do come as a nation to rely on Dean Gaffney for our security and safety. But it got me thinking... You know, if he is going to take this seriously, and he's doing it, and he seems to be, you wouldn't go to the papers unless you thought, you know, I've got a good chance of this.
Yeah.
We've got to train him up, haven't we?
Yeah.
We train him up. Start small. Get bigger. So I'm asking you this morning for your secret missions for Dean Gaffney. Is there something you need sorted? Something you want looked into?
Get me Gaffney.
Get me Gaffney. Matt, what's your secret mission for Dean Gaffney?
Well, first up, we'd have to go undercover at Crufts to find a replacement for the late, great Wellard. Of course, he will need an assistant in his mission.
Yeah.
And basically...
Like Danger Mouse and Penfold.
Yes. When it rains in my house at the moment, when it rains at a certain angle, it causes a leak in the roof and there's a drip coming through the ceiling lights, and I need him to basically find out what's causing that, where the source of this is, and if it's really down to rain coming in at a certain
angle. Be honest,
angle.
It sounds like you need a plumber.
I'm calling the mission the leaking ceiling light.
Whoa.
Dave, what's your secret mission? The leaking ceiling lights.
What's your secret mission for Dean Gaffney, Dave?
Well, as I return home from work early afternoons at the moment, my front gate is always open.
But you don't want to call Mario about this, your landlord.
Don't think Mario's qualified for this kind of mission.
Okay.
This has only started happening recently, so we need to get to the bottom of this. And I'm glad you mentioned stakeouts before, Danny, because I think this would be a key role within trying to get to the bottom of why is this blasted gate always open?
The gate open?
Yeah, I mean, he could take it that step further. He could maybe start dusting for fingerprints. Mm. And if he sees anyone leaving that gate open, I want him chasing him down the road.
Exactly. Get me Gaffney. I'm having trouble with the postman, guys. He seems a little lax, a little too casual. Things are taking a little too long to arrive. So I need Dean Gaffney to keep his eye on this postman. Let me know what he's up to, And I'd see him doing this by leaping from garden to garden, changing immediately into a different gnome costume every time, all right? Each gnome would have a different backstory for Dean Gaffney to learn. There's Pepe, the Mexican gnome. He's on an exchange system. There's Alan, the drunk. Crucially, we'd have to place small ads in local papers advertising life-size Dean Gaffney gnomes in case the postman wonders why Dean Gaffney is dressing up as a series of gnomes. I can pay £3 an hour for this. So get me Gaffney for that. Kate and Ballum's just texted in to say, if you apply at MI5, you're not even allowed to tell your own spouse. Why has he told the son? It's a very good point. It's a very good point. We are... Let's get my showbiz update. What's going on out there? Huh? What are these celebrities up to? Crazy shenanigans they've been up to. What hijinks, Matt?
What's the buzz, Danny?
I'll tell you what the buzz is. I'll give you a buzz, tell you what is happening. Is that from a musical?
I don't know if I like it.
I'll tell you what is happening. Simon Cowell, this is what's happening. This is the buzz out there. So
Simon Cowell's fallen in love with penguins.
What's the world coming to?
Well, that. He wants to buy one. He watched Mr. Popper's Penguins, which is apparently one of his favourite films of all time. Not Citizen Kane, not Casablanca. No. Mr. Popper's Penguins. Justin Bieber wants to do movies. He wants to do comedy and action. He says, I'm a jokester.
Great. Yeah.
Great. Hastings. Oh, Hastings. Hastings is in uproar after keeping the identity of the celebrity they'd hired to turn on the Christmas lights a secret. And it turned out to be Chesney Hawkes.
Yes.
Now, I think that's a good booking.
Yeah.
Good booking. Residents not happy. We're planning a go-away Chesney protest when he arrives. If anyone can recognise him, says one resident, full of Christmas spirit. Another local called Wendy said, is this the best we can do? Why couldn't we have Mick Jagger or Rod Stewart? Because you're Hastings, yeah. Wendy.
Of course, Chesney Hawkes wasn't just a one-hit wonder, though. I mean, he had other hits followed on from I'm the One and Only. Man, Not a Boy was a big hit.
Oh, yeah. I think someone's revealing themselves as a bit of a defensive fan this morning, aren't they?
Through the Window, I think, was the third single from that Southside debut
the
album.
Buddy Song soundtrack.
Buddy Song soundtrack.
What's happening here?
Yeah, so I think
who are you?
Underestimating Chesney.
Well, exactly. Well, that's Wendy for you. Hastings resident Wendy. I love the fact that she just goes, why couldn't we have Mick Jagger? You can't just name celebrities as if they were an option. Why not Steven Spielberg, Wendy? Why can't we get him? Wendy's really going, why can't Charlie Chaplin rise from his grave to open the Hastings Christmas market? Yeah? You know who we're getting round my way on Sunday? No. You know who we're getting? No. BBC political editor Nick Robinson.
Whoa!
The local kids can hardly sleep.
What a choice.
They can't, they're buzzing every morning. The hoodies, they're all, you know. The guy who plays the kid on Two and a Half Men, who called it filth and said he didn't want to be on it, which I still don't think is going to be a problem for that long, he's apologised. This is his heartfelt apology. I apologise if my remarks reflect me showing indifference and disrespect of my colleagues. So he's not saying he's not indifferent to disrespecting his colleagues. It's the worst apology ever.
Yeah.
Spotted Lisa Riley and Shepherd's Bush Green with some Haribo. And
Shut up.
No! And on page 3 of The Star, this extraordinary story, which I will read to you in full. And remember, this is a real story that someone's published in the newspaper. Talisa's new man, Danny Simpson, splashed out on a Greg sausage roll for her. The X Factor judge, 24, and Newcastle star Danny, 25, were at Metro Centre in Gateshead. Shopper Joseph Gordon tweeted, I've just witnessed Danny Simpson treating Talisa to a Greg sausage roll.
I despair.
Stop the press! And end the showbiz update.
Now I'm in the no biz.
We are XFM.
So you're back with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Our marvellous guest this morning, Dominic Monaghan, star of Wild Things with Dominic Monaghan. The next one is tonight at 8 on Channel 5. And this was something you pitched yourself, which is a great thing. And I suppose lots of networks chipped in some cash so that you could all have a bit of the Monaghan magic. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Yeah, I pitched it to a few networks. And to be totally honest, a few said it's not really our thing. I went to Discovery Channel, they didn't want to do it. I went to Animal Planet, they didn't want to do it. And then I went to BBC America, and they liked it. And then there's another network called OLN in Canada, the Outdoor Living Network. They do kind of survival-based stuff. They liked it. Channel 5 in England liked it. So between the three of them, they pitched in some money. And then it was born. Wild Things was born.
Wild Things was born. What was it like pitching? Had you pitched much before?
Yeah, I've done a fair amount of stuff. I mean, you basically just sit down and make sure that they think you're an all right type of person that they'll trust with a significant amount of their money. And then you...
Bearing in mind, you've just turned up with 2 litres of water, a coffee, and a plastic because you've been up all night.
and then you tell them your idea. And it's very, very quick in a pitch scenario. You'll know if they like it or not. If they don't like it, they'll kind of and talk about other stuff. If they like it, they get very excited and they try and, you know, in the room to try and make it happen. So I realised once I was in this BBC America meeting that they were really into it. They liked the idea.
They were into the pitch. So you can tell pretty quickly whether someone is into the pitch. Mm. Dave, shall we do this? Let's play Snap My Pitch Up with Dominic Monaghan.
My Pitch Up.
surprise for Dominic.
Yeah.
We didn't see this coming. We lulled him, didn't we?
I love games. I'm all about games.
Well, this isn't a game. I don't want you to take this, you know, in any way not seriously, Dominic. We're here to care for you, to care for your career.
Sweet.
We want you to make the right decisions, the right choices as you move forward as both a host and an actor. So we asked our listeners to pitch you their ideas for Dominic Monaghan-specific vehicles that you could take to the next level. Are you ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's see what you think, make of these. Mick just says, Dom a Matrix. Dom drives around the northeast of England wearing a leather coat and dark glasses, reenacting scenes from top film The Matrix.
Ooh.
Dom a Matrix, are you in?
I would say I'm 40% in.
40% in, that's okay. Out.
I like
that's
the
technically
film.
Out, isn't it?
Yeah, 60% out.
Tony says, what about Dominic Monaghan? It's a simple format where Dominic Monaghan merely fights crime with one arm tied behind his back.
Yeah, I'm 55% into that one.
We're moving upwards. What else, man?
Dominic Monaghan, Angry Morning Man.
Oh.
This is from Paul in Putney. Dom gets up each morning in a fierce mood and promptly exits his den and starts to shout at evildoers.
Oh.
Although they're actually just joggers. ITV4 would suit this emotional tale of an irrationally angry man.
It does sound like it's just a mad
it's like
in a park.
It's like they're reading my mind this morning. Fast forward to an hour or so, I'll be that person.
Just a man standing in the park shouting at joggers.
Yeah.
I think he was sidestepping the decision there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Monaghan's canned ham pictograms, where Dominic fashions several pictograms with only various types of canned hams as the available resource.
I don't like canned ham.
No.
ITV4, that. What else? Gareth in Dunstable, Dominic Monaghan bombing it in Camber Sands.
That sounds good.
A two-parter where Dominic gets over his fear of water to win the centennial dive bombing competition in Camber Sands.
Yeah, that's the best one.
This sounds
really
good,
it
does sound pretty good. Okay. 72% will this one tip him over. It's Gareth in Dunstable who says Dominic's mocha ban. Dominic goes to various coffee outlets slapping mochas out of men's hands, declaring mocha is not a proper coffee for a grown-up.
Oh, man. Mm. I'd like to do... I'm going to pitch a combination of the dive bombing thing and the mocha thing, because I like both those ideas.
So, caffeinated dive bombing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the future, everybody. Yes. That's what's happening. That's what he's going with. He could have had Dominic Monaghan in Con in a Bin. Something to do with prisoners in a bin. Don't get done, get Dom or Dom. You teaming up with Dominic Littlewood off the telly. And can Dominica Bird. All those formats are no more.
No,
we know what we're doing. We are talking, well, about the big news here in Britain at the moment, which is that the former soap actor Dean Gaffney wants to be a spy. So we're asking you, 83936, for your secret missions for Dean Gaffney. What's going on there? What's the first mission, Matt? What's Gaffney up to?
Dean Gaffney could be called in to investigate who stole my clicky top pen from my desk at work.
Very nice.
This was one of the last in the company.
What?
Get me Gaffney.
The last
James
in the company?
Essex.
Someone nicked James Messick's pen.
It's very mysterious.
Very disappointing, isn't it? Get me Gaffney. Andrew from Orpington says, a friend of mine owes me a fiver. He's stubbornly refusing to pay due to him saying the bet was void. Only one man can rectify this. Get me Gaffney. Matt.
AJ in Wimbledon says, my favourite boots have suddenly started giving me blisters.
What?
I want to know who has sabotaged my footwear.
Yeah.
Get me Gaffney.
Get me Gaffney, says Dom in Watford. I'm having issues at home. Someone keeps knocking over the wheelie bin and tearing through the recycling. Now, it's not the wind. And it's not foxes, but it is harassment. I have a feeling it's Natalie Cassidy, but I do need hard proof before I take this to the authorities. Get me Gaffney, says Dom. Exactly. Yes. What else?
A similar mission from Andy in Hornchurch. Mm. He says, I have a skip outside my house, and mysteriously, a Tesco bag full of leaves has appeared in it.
What?
Neither me or my girlfriend know where it came from.
What?
Get me Gaffney.
Who would put a Tesco bag full of leaves?
In a skip?
In a skip? Oh. Gemma from Essex says, Dean Gaffney sits in my local Indian and shops in my local Morrison's. I notice him. I think other spies might as well. Gemma appears to be a spy. Get me Gaffney. Someone keeps nicking the milk off my doorstep. We'll get him straight round. I think Dean Gaffney should start by breaking into the seedy world of supermarket two-for-one offers. I've had suspicions for a while now that you don't actually save any money on your final bill. Deep cover on the deli counter should sort it out before they take over the world. Get me Gaffney, says Teacher Alan in Enfield. Confirm listener Rachel, what's yours?
I need Dean Gaffney for a very special mission. Yeah. Every morning I leave my house to find that a few feet down the road, someone's deposited the remains of their chicken and chips Now, this person is very unpredictable. The other day, it was pasta and green beans.
Oh.
Get me, Gaffney!
What are these mysteries, huh? You get chips, and then the next night, pasta and green beans. Someone's putting rubbish in a skip.
Curious
and
case.
Adam in Basildon just says, seeing Dean Gaffney outside my house, sitting in a van, no suspicion would be aroused. I'd merely assume he was delivering home shopping items or asphalting a roof. Dean Gaffney is the perfect spy cover, Danny. It's perfect.
We are XFM.
We're about to get angry. We're about to get nerdy. Hey, angry nerds. So, is there something remarkably specific? It's getting your goat. It's kind of observational comedy that only you have never noticed. That's sort of what it is. Matt, if I were to ask you what you're angry and nerdy about, what would it be?
I really think I'm the only person bothered about this.
Well, no.
Virgin Media, whilst I admire your ability to provide fixed telephone, television and broadband internet services, yes, why have you not got loaded TV? It's on Sky, but not my package.
Yeah.
This means I not only miss XFM Steve Harris on his new TV show Hernu and Harris Unhinged, but I also miss the new sitcom on the channel, described as being like Open All Hours in a Soho sex shop.
Yeah, you missed that as well. I bumped into Piers Hernu just yesterday. Isn't that strange? Hey, little button that suddenly started appearing in the top right-hand corner of my laptop screen since my last system update that says app updates are available, and then only gives me two options, update or details. I don't want to update them, and I don't want the details. I want you to knit off. It's bull nonsense. Every 5 or 6 minutes you're there because apps are always updating. I'm in no hurry to update Skype or Angry Birds. I don't care if Cinegram's been updated. I downloaded it on a whim. I have never, ever used it. How do I turn you off? I hate you. I'm trying to write a column about sat-navs. I don't want to update the stocks and shares app. No one uses it.
We are XFM.
We are very, very pleased to welcome a certain man to the studio. This is his voice.
So I like to do a bit of bonding with my tall friends. We're a minority group that have been overlooked. I come from a place in the Midlands, a small town in the Midlands, which is largely inhabited by people who find my height hilarious, it would appear. I've been going back to visit my parents for 30 years. I've been this height, and still when I walk down that street, people go, "Tall! Tall! Ben! Ben!"
It's Greg Davies is here! Hello, Greg. How are you?
Yes, I'm all right, thank you. I'm largely positive.
Good. I mean, what about the minority of your feelings?
Well, I'm on tour, so I'm quite tired.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not a real job, so I'm not complaining.
How do you cope with being on tour?
These headphones don't work, so they're coming off. They're just stopping me from being able to hear you. I think it's the exact opposite.
It's making me sound further away. What's it like? Because you've got to be on tour. Is it repetitive? There are some comics that I talk to that do things like they always book themselves in the same hotel chain for every night of their tour so that it kind of feels like going home. Do you do that or do you like the variety?
I don't, but I've been equally petty this time in that my support act driver and I have compiled a hotel database.
Oh, God.
Where we're doing extreme reviews of every hotel we've stayed in with a view to the next time I tour, doing just that and finding special places.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's a hotel guide specifically only for you?
Yeah.
In the future?
But I may well share it because some of them have been so shockingly bad.
Like, really?
The nation needs to know about it.
The worst the worst kind of hotel experience you've had on this tour?
Cannock.
Right, Cannock. The people of Cannock. What is it about them?
I'm nothing against Cannock, and I'm not going to name the hotel yet because I haven't decided whether I'm going to go public with a hotel database. But I think that particular hotel made me as unhappy as I can remember being.
Really? In what way? Why do they hate strangers so much? Why don't they want people coming to Cannock?
The staff were lovely. There's nothing wrong with the staff.
Right.
There's something about the building that I think, and I doubt they'll use this on their publicity, I thought it was intrinsically evil.
Really? Did you have dark feelings? Oh. Feelings of an evil presence?
Yeah, it was really awful.
They call you the little angel of comedy.
Do they? Do they?
No, they don't. I just thought I'd say that.
But that's really nice, you know, because I've done so many interviews, as we were talking before, with local radio.
Yeah.
And you haven't asked me how tall I am. You haven't asked me whether I used to be a teacher in real life. That's to come, I presume.
Absolutely. Where do you get your crazy ideas?
Cannock.
Cannock. They all come from Cannock. Firing cheese balls at a dog was the last time you came in here. We talked about that. This one, a similarly odd-sounding title.
Yeah.
It's called The Back
branding,
of My...
Branding, isn't it, Danny?
It is. It is. Branding, yeah, trying to make the titles as difficult for people to remember as possible. The Back of My Mum's Head Tour.
That's it. That's what I'm currently doing, The Back of My Mum's Head.
Explain yourself.
Well, I could give you the convoluted lie, which I've given a lot of people in interviews lately.
Okay, what's the lie?
The lie is that it's all about my reluctance to grow up and it's all weaved into the show. Or I can tell you the truth.
Truth, please.
I took a picture of the back of my mum's head that made me laugh.
It's the simple ideas, isn't it? It's the simple ideas. Yeah. It was similar with firing cheese balls at a dog. That just amused you as well.
I mean, that was an incident, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose, yeah. I was just on a beach with my mum and she was standing looking out to sea and I was looking at my phone and I took a picture of both of us.
Yeah.
And, it just looks like I'm standing next to a massive grey microphone, so I thought, well, I'm going to call my show that, and then we'll see what comes out of that title.
Yes, and what does come out of that title?
It's all about my reluctance to grow up.
We are XFM.
Let's get the good news where you are. You seem very happy, don't you? Despite the weather. Good for you. It's the British way. Dave, kick us off. What are people happy about this morning?
Good news, guys. Yeah. I just got back from my honeymoon. Now, this isn't good news. What is good? Okay, that's not good news?
Well, that is good news, I'd imagine. You're back. It's good news, but also...
Yeah, what is good news is while I was in Florida, I went to the best gig ever, Weezer, supported by Ash.
Nice, good gig. Samantha Maidstone says, good news, guys. For once, I judged the weather correctly. And I'm wearing a coat with a huge hood. In your face, rain. You know what that is, don't you? It's because Matt's away. Matt would have begun the broadcast going, it's going to be the hottest day of the year, everybody. Mark in Hertfordshire says, after 2 years of freezing my gentleman's agreements off in my ancient Ford Mondeo and being too skint to fix it, the heating system has suddenly decided to fix itself in time for Christmas.
Nice.
It's great news. Good work there. Confirm Mr. Friend says, good news, guys. I've been pursuing a girl I like for 3 weeks. Persistence has paid off. She's now my girlfriend.
Yes.
Excellent work. You always wear him down to the end, don't you, Fran?
Good news.
What else, Dave?
This one's from Neil in Durham. Good news, guys. I've been sat in a traffic jam for an hour and a half now, meaning I get to listen to 3 times as much of the important broadcast than I usually do.
Well done, Neil in Durham, for that. That's great news. Good news, guys. Today I am... my screen went funny. Today I'm waiting in for 2 deliveries. This means I have an excuse not to go to my exercise class or walk the dog in the rain. 1 delivery is a SIM card for my new phone. From Bosch Indy. Thanks very much for the extraneous detail at the end. Dave?
My good news before, of course, was that I'm off to see Greg Davies tonight at the Hammersmith Apollo.
You're hanging out in the White Room.
I'm hanging out in the White Room, which I was very much looking forward to, but we've just got a text here from someone who works at Hammersmith Apollo saying, with regards to your good news, I work at the Apollo and feel you may be a little disappointed with the White Room. Yeah. It's actually sort of velvety pink and has like a weird den. On a brighter note, his show is hilarious and he is the nicest man ever.
You'll have a great time. Alex in Wimbledon, what's your good news?
Good news, guys. Yep. Before the end of the Sam Rockwell interview, I worked out you were discussing a film called 7 Psychopaths and not 7 Psychopaths as I first thought. Although on that note, why don't we enjoy more Psychopaths? Super thought, guys. I'll leave that with you.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you. Food for thought indeed. Jack, who is 6 from Islington, says, good news, guys. I'm playing 5-a-side footy at my school power league today, and I've got my lucky footy boots on. I'm going to score a hat-trick.
Yes.
Yes, you are, Jack. And Marchin finally just says, good news, guys. Yeah, can we have some romantic music for this?
Yeah.
It's quite nice. Good news, guys, he says. Yesterday, while on my way to work at 5:15 a.m., I went past a huge recovery lorry, towing another huge loading lorry, and in the darkness, it seemed like both machines were shining, just lighting up the environment with a million billion lights, the sound very powerful, and the looks magnificent, like a live-action Transformers, just hiding in the night, bringing one of their injured comrades back to safety through the beauty of Bovingdon Village. It was just wonderful, it was touching, it was emotional, and it was super cool, and that's my good news for today. That's not good news, Martin, is it? No, that's
great news.
You see one lorry carrying an injured lorry away, it's enough to make you weep, if you're just really into lorries.
XFM.
FM.
Matthew in Purley, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, Matthew. How's it going?
Oh, very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well also. Thanks for asking. Now, you've got through. The computer chose you at random. Have you heard Quizface before, Matthew?
Not really, no.
Not really. That's a no, isn't it? Well, you should know the rules by now, Matthew, but it is a simple format today, so don't worry too much. Let's get quizzical.
Quizface.
So, Matthew, it concerns me that you haven't heard Quizface before, because as you should know, that your listener exams are coming up soon, aren't they?
Yes.
Exactly, yes. You should have been revising with your listening partner every day from 10 till 12. Have you been doing that, Matthew?
No.
Oh, Matthew. Well, if you had, who is your listening partner?
Charlie,
okay. Has Charlie been revising?
Hope so.
It's your own time you're wasting, isn't it, Matthew? Well, listen, if you had been revising with Charlie, you'd have noticed a rise in celebrity quizzes on the important broadcast recently. We've done, what have we done? Quiz Teenage Aguilera. We've done Queen Elizabeth the First and the Second. We've done Quizzy Rascal, haven't we? And we've done the quiz you have to beat before the quiz beats you, Quiz Brown. So today, it's Quiz Akabusi.
Quiz Akabusi.
All right! So, are you ready, Matthew?
Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Chris wants to know if you're ready as well. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Good. You should know the rules by now, Matthew. So you will play Quiz Akabusi in a variety of situations, from regional manager of a down-on-its-luck leisure centre trying his best to drum up local enthusiasm and support in a bleak Northamptonshire town.
Ice skating!
To Quiz Akabusi rolling around on a bed full of money, staring at himself in a mirror.
Everyone loves me!
But, Matthew, you will also play Quiz Akabusi when Quiz Akabusi faces times of peril and danger.
Let's get jiggy!
For example, Matthew, you will play Quiz Akabusi when Quiz is in the Arctic tundra and inadvertently comes up with the very worst plan possible as global warming takes hold.
Ice skating!
And you'll play Quiz Akabusi when he accepts his award for Northamptonshire Regional Sports Centre Manager of the Year and forgets to thank the people who put him there. No. Like Lionel, the receptionist everyone suspects is a bit simple. Or Doreen, who's having an affair with Quiz's brother.
Everyone loves me!
Oh, dear. Oh, no. Are you making notes, Matthew?
Not really. I haven't got a pen.
You should be you should know the rules by now! But Matthew, you'll also play Quiz Akabusi as a 6-inch version of himself.
Fantastic!
As he sort of pootles around the home of the Braithwaites, the family who accidentally brushed him in with the leaves one autumn morn, and whom he now lives with. You'll play Quiz as he explores the family fridge, making a cape out of a sheet of ham, and then strapping two ice cubes to his feet.
Ice skating!
But Matthew, can you tell me?
Yeah.
Is that true or false?
False.
Saying false? Yes! We're not playing Quiz Akabusi. We don't have enough sound clips of Chris to make that viable, as they were deleted from the system without our approval just this morning. Which means all you have to do to complete Quizface and win the tickets is complete the well-known phrase, Matthew. We are...
XFM.
Yes! You said it!
Yes! Awesome.
It is awesome, isn't it?
Oh, I'm so happy. Honestly, this is like Christmas. Yes.
It's like Quizmas, isn't it? It's like Quiz
Akabusimus. It's Christmas, yeah.
Exactly. You know, we do try and change as much as we can to the word quiz that is in your listener pad. Have you even got a listener pad?
I don't. Well, actually,
why haven't you been revising?
I always just listen in the car while getting to work.
Lots of people listen in the car. Lots of people still manage to make notes, don't they?
Pull over.
Yeah, I know.
Bring your vehicle to a
safe stop. From now on, I will.
Do you even listen in silence? I bet you're a talker. I bet you talk during the links.
Talker.
Do you?
Maybe. Yes.
Dave, we're going to have to talk about. We're going to have to talk about this guy afterwards, aren't we? He's not really keeping up.
No, and he's not taking
seriously. We might have to let him go.
We are XFM.
Let's get angry and nerdy. What did people do before Angry Nerds? They just carried this around with them, didn't they?
Let it fester.
Twisted little ball of rage. That's what you were until this outlet, this radio outlet. So, Matthew Dyson, what are people angry and nerdy about?
Confirmed listener Slug says, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed. I bought the new Spider-Man film late last night after work. I exasperatedly watched it blip-free. I was hoping to anyway, but not. There was a film mistake within when Peter Parker's talking to Gwen Stacy in one scene. He takes out both headphones and then in the next shot, one is mysteriously back in again.
Oh, no,
I know he's Spider-Man, but his hands did not move that quickly.
Ridiculous.
There are people paid to stop silly things like this from happening.
It's called a continuity error and it should not happen. Hey, Makita BDF4520LXT lithium ion cordless drill battery, sort yourself out. You're a joke. Why do you only hold 10 seconds of charge? I need you to hang up a shelf for my Mrs. Evergrowing Lego superhero collection. You've made me look like a numpty. Oh. Sort it out. Exactly, yes. Wow.
Damn you, Halo 4 servers. Not only will you not let me in a game, when I'm in a game, I lag like there's no tomorrow. My NAT setting is fine. What's wrong with you, you bunch of lily pads?
Does it say that he's checked his NAT setting? Can you just check that?
Angry Joe from Brentwood.
Yeah, the NAT setting is fine. Holly in Dagenham says, hey, Drupal content management system. Why do you insist on adding an extra click every time I try to publish a page? Of course I want to publish it. I clicked publish. I shouldn't have to re-click publish. Sort it out, Matt.
I'm getting my nerdy rant in early, says confirmed listener Lorraine in Putney. She sent this in at 8:03. She says, useless system that my employer, in their infinite wisdom, have invested money in that, quite frankly, could have been better spent on training monkeys to do the work the system does, as they would probably be more user-friendly, operationally sound, reliable, and intelligent. Don't make me jump through a series of lengthy and unnecessary hoops to extract the data I need, only to tell me that you've encountered a problem and need to close, and then do not add insult to injury and ask me if I would like to send a report that is more than likely never read by anyone.
Oh,
you are a ninny hammer.
You're a ninny hammer. Tom and the Isle of Dogs, what's yours?
Oh, MacBook Pro 13-inch, why do you insist on running the quick look satellite process every time I start you up? There's no corrupt.avi file here to see my little electronic friend, so please return my 87% of CPU you insist on hogging and allow me to browse in peace.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Barnaby says, hey, presenter of a well-known radio breakfast show. I think he's getting at me here.
Yeah.
It's pronounced Lieutenant. Since we are English, the Americans pronounce it Lieutenant. Do you say aluminum too? You know what to do, Dave.
Yep.
5 minute listener ban.
Well, Barnaby, if you think about it for just a second, it's contemporary English is what we're talking about. If you're John Walker back in 1791 lamenting its demise, then yeah, you've got a point, but it's a lieutenant. Think about the etymology of it, yeah? It means a deputy or a substitute acting for a superior. It's Middle English from the Old French. That's why it's L-I-E-U instead, not L-E-F-T, and tenant meaning holder. The Liu is pronounced Lou in both American and British English. So in your face, Barnaby, you are banned for 5 minutes. We'll see you back here at 8:25 and not a second before.
X-F-M.
Quiz Face.
My name's Matthew, and I just won Quiz Face, in which I did not play a 6-inch Chris Akabusi running around the fridge wearing a ham cape. I have a tiny Chris Akabusi in my fridge at home. He tried to make himself a pair of wings out of chicken drumsticks, but he hit the ground pretty hard. Now he can only walk in circles. Thank you, Chris Face. Thank you, Danny Wallace. We are
XFL! You're back with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Our guest this morning, the marvellous Greg Davies. Tomorrow night, Greg, a big gig.
It is. It's my second Hammersmith Apollo.
Mm.
And I only put one in, so to be doing another is beyond exciting.
It's a big old venue, isn't it?
It's awesome. Have you played there in any form?
I've been to it.
Have you?
Yes. I've been to it and watched people doing it. Yeah. So no, in no way. But I mean, it must be slightly intimidating venue. Like the first time you walk out onto that stage and you look up and it just goes on and on and on forever, I imagine.
It does. Yeah. It's awful. It's an awful fear.
Is it an awful fear?
Well,
even now?
I think it would have been if I hadn't done the venue before. So I've done Live at the Apollo a couple of times, yeah. And I've done a benefit there, IMC to benefit. So I've been on the stage in small chunks.
Sure, and that's as part of, and you've always stormed it. Whenever I've seen, you know, I saw you on Live at the Apollo doing that exact stage, of course, and it's part of a kind of a package. This time people are coming to see you specifically. Does that help or hinder?
In there lies the stress.
Yeah.
It's sort of both, I suppose, because
they love you already, because they turned up and they've paid.
They've paid, so...
But now they expect something.
So they're on side, but you still, you know, I think that... I was talking to another comic about this. I think that buys you about 10 minutes.
Really, is that all?
They come to see you, and then they go, right, well, there better be some funny stuff here as well.
Right.
Yeah.
But you've got that sorted out.
Yeah, I've nailed it.
Yeah. How was the tour?
I'm loving it. I've got about 12 dates to do. I think I've done about 30-something, and I've had the best time. It's the best thing to do, to travel all around the country and showing off in front of people.
What would make it better?
If I'd not been to Cannock.
Got a real thing against Cannock this morning.
I mean, I haven't got a thing about
you. Got a thing
Cannock.
Against possessed buildings.
I think
buildings.
Cannock and the people of Cannock are lovely. I just specifically didn't enjoy my hotel.
Really, yeah. Well, I hope we can track something down about this hotel. Yeah. Maybe that's something I could leave with you, Matthew. Would you
okay,
mind?
Okay, yeah, I'll look into it.
Look into the hotels of Cannock. We can work it out. It's
good
the
luck,
possessed
Matthew.
One. Yeah, good luck with that.
Best of luck. We all wish you well.
Hammersmith Apollo tomorrow night. The back of my mum's head. People can get details from Ticketmaster.com, all those usual places. Have you got a website?
I'm having one constructed.
Oh, you're such an old man. I started off saying you're the angel of comedy.
I've caught up now. Soon I will be the proper little angel of comedy because I've gone on Twitter and everything now.
Are you?
Yeah.
What's your Twitter handle?
It's at G Davis.
At G Davis.
I've only done a few tweets, so I'm having a lovely old time.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you enjoying yourself?
I really am. I've used it largely to moan. It's great. Yeah. Are you on Twitter, Danny?
I'm on Twitter, yes.
Perhaps we can follow each other.
That'll be nice. I'll follow you after the show.
I'll follow you.
Good. We're following each other. Greg Davis, everybody. Comedy's little angel. Comedy's little angel.
If you can make that stick, it'd be a miracle. I would love that.
We are...
Every now and again, Dave just looks just a little bit excited about something, and he'll go, got a mystery guest. And it's always someone that we'll have talked about in some way at some stage. And today, hasn't he been looking very, very excited indeed,
yeah.
Matthew Dyson?
Yes, incredibly excited.
So, shall we do this?
Mm-hmm.
Hit it.
Guest who?
All right, so this is exciting. All I know is someone is on the line right now. Dave has lined them up. He's quite excited today. And it's a mystery guest. So it'll be someone who at some point we've talked about. We talked this week about, the Duchess of Cambridge. I don't imagine it's the Duchess of Cambridge. It could be anyone. It could be a scientist, someone involved in a survey of some kind. So 60-second countdown. Let's begin. Okay, so caller, are you there?
Yes, mate.
Oh, blimey. Ooh. Slightly sinister caller this morning. Are you sinister in any way?
Not at all, mate.
No, he's not sinister. Friendly.
Very, very friendly.
Do you know, I sort of think I might know who that is. Would you say your voice is recognisable?
Yes, mate. That's why I try to disguise it.
I'm not sure it is that. You know, I think it's a different voice you normally use. Would I be right?
Yes, indeed, mate, yeah. Very different voice.
It can't be. I'm going to try. This will be embarrassing if I get it wrong. Is it the Duchess of Cambridge?
Yeah,
it's Chris Akabusi, I knew it!
That's very naughty. You tricked me. You got me laughing. That's unfair.
Exactly.
Trademark laugh.
Chris Akabusi, how are you?
Danny Wallace, how you doing? That's naughty, mate. I wanted to try to get to the 60 seconds and have a giraffe of you, and you tricked me. How could you do that to me, mate?
I'm so sorry, Chris. It's your own fault for being so recognisable.
Well, you know what? I've got one of those laughs. I remember when I was a kid at school, the teachers would always go, Akabusi, come out. We know it's you. We can hear you laughing.
Really? Oh, man. So you could never be naughty?
I was always there when naughtiness was happening.
Oh,
just a witness. Because of the people doing naughtiness, I got the blame for it because you knew that I was there.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be a terrible career criminal. Hey, Chris, welcome to the XFM Breakfast Show.
Oh, you know, I'm really excited to be on the world famous Danny Wallace XFM Breakfast Show. Check it out. Caboosey's arrived. I've got the fist pumps going now.
Wow, Matt Dyson here in the studio is also fist pumping. This is great. It's like some kind of world record.
The whole of London was doing it.
The whole of London. Chris, we talked about you in various ways during the week, including, you'll be pleased to know, you were the star of something called Quiz Akabusi.
Well, you know, I know there are loads of quiz shows that go around the country in pubs and clubs and associations, and Quiz Akabusi and Christine Aguilera. Yeah, you know who she is.
Yeah. Quizzy Rascal, Quiz Brown.
That's it. So there we go. Yeah. Quiz, all that sort of stuff.
Well, ours was very different. At one point, Chris, we were imagining a 6-inch version of yourself living in a family fridge, making yourself a cape from ham.
Interested. Continue. Let me continue. And where does this lead to then? This cape from ham. Are you living in Southampton? Does that work?
Yeah, well, I can use that next time round. Next time we do Quiz Akabusi, absolutely. No, you were just sort of pottering about in a family's house. It was a smaller version of yourself. They were called the Braithwaites. And they'd been sweeping in the leaves one autumn morn and swept tiny Chris Akabusi into their life. Does that make you feel happy?
It really does. I mean, you know, to think that in an alternative life I could be living in the fridge with some ham around as a cape. I mean, I've always had this idea of being the cape crusader.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Clark Kent one day and then all of a sudden burst into action.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering whether, you know, the cape crusader, nobody knew he was Clark Kent, did they?
No.
But no one knows Batman is, whatever his name is, Bruce Wayne. And no one knows Clark Kent is Superman. But if Akabusi was a crusader with a ham and he flew through the air and he started laughing like Danny Wallace, to go, that ain't Clark Kent,
yeah,
that ain't Bruce Wayne, that's Akabusi.
It's a tiny Chris Akabusi flying through my fridge with a tiny cape made of ham. Chris, I'm so pleased you thought that through as well, and that it resonates with you in some way, wanting to be a cape crusader.
Good. You know what? I spent 20 years developing as a track and field athlete, then had a little bit of a TV career. I've worked for the last 50 years as a speaker, but now I know I've made it. I am Danny Wallace's ham cape crusader in a fridge on XFM in the morning. It doesn't get better than that, mate.
It doesn't get better than that. Hey, Chris, thank you so much for joining in.
Hey, Danny, I'm actually gutted that I've got, because I thought when Dave, your producer, said, look, come on there, it's 4 minutes, he's not very good, he won't get you. I thought really that I was going to be able to last for a whole minute, but I forgot about that laugh. But Danny, it's been great working with you, mate.
It's been lovely. Chris Akabusi, everybody.
XFM. Danny Analytics.
In Danny Analytics, Dave, what have you learnt today?
I've learned a couple of things today, Danny. On air, after just months of moving to the country, Joey Barton has already picked up the French language, absolute treat.
Absolutely.
As I said yesterday, I make one tackle and all everybody speak about is this tackle. Nobody speaks about a 50-yard pass that kills Balmon and it causes a red card for him.
Wow, I mean, although one wonders whether this bizarre accent is actually helping or hindering the French press when it comes to understanding everyone's favourite Liverpudlian.
Yeah, I like the fact that you pronounce press the Dutch way as well.
Sean Connery as well.
Very lovely.
And off air, Danny did a wonderful impersonation of work experience Steve, copying his phone etiquette, which everyone in the studio loved aside from Steve.
Yeah, Steve not so keen. Sorry, Steve.
XFM.
So there we go, podcast 73, a bonus podcast no less. I've been producer Dave. This has been the XFM Breakfast Show podcast, usually with Danny Wallace. He'll be back for 74. See you later in the week. Say goodbye, Steve.
Bye-bye. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.